Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I truly believe that the day I'm inaugurated, not only does the country look at itself differently, but the world looks at America differently. If I'm reaching out to the Muslim world, they understand that I've lived in a Muslim country and I may be a Christian, but I also understand their point of view. I'm intimately concerned with what happens in these countries and the cultures and the perspectives that these folks have. I think that the world will have confidence that I am listening to them. That will ultimately make us safer.
People say he doesn't love America. Do you really believe that? How can you say that about this nice Christian man with such a fine family? I don't understand people's enmity towards him. It has to be racism. Now, it's true that you may like African-Americans such as Clarence Thomas, but he doesn't count because he's not a lib. And there are other African-Americans, great writers out there who are African-American, and you may respect and love them, but they don't count because, well, they're not liberals. And if you don't like a liberal African-American, then you're obviously a racist ipso facto. This is the Savage Nation. Yes, Barack Obama does love America. There's no question about it. Rudy Giuliani is under fire for saying, in essence, that Barack Obama doesn't love America. And some pundits on Fox News are on the same side, and they're running scared, saying, well, of course Obama loves America. I think Martha Washington herself said it. Blondie, didn't she? Blondie took that side. She didn't want to be accused of hating the president. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that Barack Obama absolutely does love America. He loves America and Western culture the same as his father, Barack Hussein Obama Sr., who was jailed in 1949 by the British while working for the Kenyan independence movement, giving the younger Obama a hatred for Great Britain he still shows today. The senior Obama wrote in an 8-page essay, "The Problem with Our Socialism," which questioned, quote, "How are we going to remove the disparities in our country, such as the concentration of economic power in Asian and European hands?" That was Daddy. He loves America, like his mother Stanley Ann Dunham loved America, the same way she taught him while he was living in Indonesia to, quote, "disdain the blend of ignorance and arrogance that too often characterized Americans abroad." That's from Mama's lips. Friends claim she was an atheist. A woman who challenged her son's school curriculum with questions such as, "What's so good about democracy? What's so good about capitalism? What's wrong with communism?" said Mama Obama. What's good about communism, she wanted to know. He loves America like the people in the madrasa he attended in Indonesia, where pro-American teachings are extremely hard to find, and where everything is taught according to how it will honor Islam first and foremost. Now you understand why his extremism conference went bent over backwards to not say Muslim and had only Muslims there. I mean, only imams. Sorry, there was only an imam prayer. A prayer from an imam. No rabbis, no priests, no Buddhist monks. He loves America like his grandparents who moved their daughter and her son, Barack, to Seattle specifically to attend Mercer Island High School, whose chairman of the school board, John Stenhouse, quote, testified before the House Un-American Activities Subcommittee that he had been a member of the Communist Party, believe it or not. He loves America like mentor and father figure Frank Marshall Davis, member of the Communist Party USA, who Obama describes as, quote, being a decisive influence in helping him to find his present identity as an African-American. A people who have been the least anti-communist and the most left-leaning of any constituency in this nation. He loves America like his preacher of 20 years, the inspiration for his book, The Audacity of Hope, the man who married he and his wife, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who famously asked that God damn America, and that the attack on 9/11 was America's chickens coming home to roost. Yes, he loves America like his good friends Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who build bombs to attack American federal buildings and police stations, killing innocent Americans. Yes, he loves America like his wife, Michelle, who was never proud of her country until 2008 when her husband ran for president. So, yes, Barack Obama does love America. It's just not an America you and I are remotely familiar with. He loves it in a socialist, communistic, Islamic-inspired, atheistic, black liberation theology, radical anarchist kind of way. And I'm Michael Savage, and I stand by my words. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It is, unprotected talk today. Now, the screamer of the week is, well, we played the speech from 07, courtesy of Breitbart, where he said his intimate understanding of the Muslim world will make us safer. How'd that work out in Iraq? The best thing of the week occurred yesterday at the, quote, extremism conference, where he said things that are not only delusional, they're frightening. Because if he actually believes what he said, then he's insane. He knows better. Listen to clip one. Listen to this.
Here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding.
Really?
Generations.
Hey,
generations.
Hold it. Here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. I had no idea. I didn't know that George Washington was secretly a Muslim. That after the Battle of Valley Forge, he went back and got on his knees on a prayer rug and prayed to Mecca. I had no idea he had a prayer rug hidden up there in Monticello. I mean, Jefferson in Monticello. I had no idea that Ben Franklin with the kite was doing it for Allah. Did you, Robert? I didn't know that Ben Franklin was secretly praying to Mecca every day, and he didn't want to shock those cracker colonists with their weird behaviors and their worship of Jesus. So he kept it hidden. Even Betsy Ross, who she made the American flag. Did you know she had a burqa hidden underneath the floorboards? I mean, Obama said Islam has been woven into the fabric of a country since its founding. So Betsy Ross must have had a burqa somewhere in that old cottage of hers. She just couldn't shock the cracker colonists and come out and wear the burqa. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know they were secretly Muslim. How do you like that? I guess it's a product of my racist upbringing that in my history classes, I didn't know that Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. Yes, indeed, my friends, all we have left is ridicule, scorn, and sarcasm because we have no electoral power whatsoever. We've lost it. That stooge Boehner and the turkey over there, whatever his name is, stand in the way of our freedoms. We elected an opposition party in November, which Obama nullified the next day with his arrogance and his deceit. And his arrogance and deceit have been upheld by Boehner and McConnell, who are nothing but turncoats. They're wearing the red coats right now. McConnell and Boehner are the red coats. They are the British. They are not the American patriots. That's my opinion. And I agree 1,000% with Rudolph Giuliani that Obama does not love America in the way we love America. He wants to transform it into a socialist, Islamist vision of America. That's the America he carries around with himself. Again, the phone number here is 855-407-282. Now, if you think this show is going to be devoted solely to Obama bashing, you are right. No, I'm not. I'll do it up to a point. You know, if I turn on another talk show and I hear for 3 hours, liberalism is no good. Liberals are the reason we have problems. Well, it's all true, but how many times have you heard it? I've written 20-some-odd books describing what liberalism is. Why must I hear that every day on a radio show like it's a discovery? What do they expect, the Pulitzer Prize in journalism for saying liberals are bad? Liberalism is no good. I don't want to hear that. By the same token, if you turn on a radio show and all you're going to hear is Obama bashing, even though he deserves it, even though he's clearly an America hater, not an America lover, even though the man is not prosecuting the war against ISIS in any manner we can comprehend, it's boring to bash Obama. Because each time he opens his mouth, he does a better job than I could do. That is, if you actually hear it. The problem is most people don't actually hear what he says. I run into a few people as I walk my dog or ride my bike in my neighborhood, in one of the neighborhoods I live in. And I live in 7 different neighborhoods. I move around on a regular basis. I rarely sleep in the same bed 2 nights in a row. And there are reasons for that. I've chosen to live this way for the last 20 years, which is why I've been living for the last 20 years. But the fact of the matter is, in one of the neighborhoods in which I choose to rest my head at night, I run into a person who's very intelligent. He's a psychiatrist, and he's quite conservative, and a university professor at that, and a fine medical doctor. And he's not knowledgeable about what Obama says or does on a daily basis. You see, he's working during the day, and he doesn't listen to talk radio. He doesn't hear Obama say that Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. He doesn't hear some of the outrageous lies of the sorority girls that work for him that shock people who listen to it. And this brings us to the core of the problem. Talk radio is an extremely powerful medium for getting out the news and the facts. And believe me, we work as hard as anybody in the history of the media, maybe harder. I'm sure I work harder than anybody in the history of the media. I'm positive I do. And it's not a litmus test. The fact is that we're working around the clock looking for what really is going on, because you're not going to find it in the mainstream, obviously. When have you last heard that speech by Obama, which was just given yesterday, that Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding? That is such a blatant lie that any other president would have been called out across the globe for such a statement. So we get to the core of the issue. How many people are really still listening to talk radio is the real problem. Compared to 3 or 4 years ago, it's true, the numbers are down. People have tuned out. It's not because our message is too strident. It's not because our politics are not in sync with that of America. It's because people are burned out and they're worn out. They can't hear it anymore. What they're saying is, we had a damn election in November, and look what we got, the same crap from a Boehner and McConnell. What do you want us to do? So they turn in. They turn into themselves. They turn back to their family. They turn back to their churches and their friends. And they say, there's nothing I can do about it. It's a corrupted system. The country is as corrupt as a banana republic under this corrupt president. That's what they say. If you look at the hardcore numbers of those who are actually listening to talk radio compared to sports, compared to music, it's quite a small number, incidentally. It is a small number, admittedly. So, for example, I'm going to give you an example of what our challenge really is and why we have to fight harder than ever to get the message out through social media and other methods. I do it through the show. I do it through my books, which come out about once a year now or more. And I try my best. But we're still not reaching a very large audience, no matter who we are in the business. I'll give you an example. I'm giving one station of the hundreds on which I am broadcast, and this is on the powerhouse station WABC in New York. It's 50,000 watts. If you look at my time slot, you'll see that I have the highest 12-plus rating in the day part on the station. In the day part. There are people at night who have a little bigger number, but not as high in AQH, because they have no competition. It's a different stratosphere out there. It doesn't have the same comparison. It's apples and oranges. But in the day part, I'm proud to say to you that in New York, I'm number one on WABC in the 12-plus. The same is true in Washington, D.C., where I have an astonishing large share on WMAL. But as large as it is, it's not very large. It's not very large. The average quarter hour is about 25,000 people, which is the highest on the station in New York. Think about that. Every quarter hour, the way radio stations do their ratings for years, we have allegedly approximately about 25,000 people tuning in, new people tuning in every quarter hour. So you say, well, what does that really mean? I don't know, add up the numbers. 25,000 times 4 is what, 100,000 an hour? Is that how it works? Or it means every quarter of an hour there's 25,000 new people. So try to imagine what that really is. In a city of 9 million people, what's 25,000 every quarter hour? It's a drop in the bucket. So look around you. Look around you. You're in a car. You're in a truck. You're walking in the streets of Manhattan. Look around you. Most of those people do not know what is going on around them, nor do they care. But if you're listening to talk radio, you're listening to Michael Savage, you do care, or you wouldn't be wasting your time listening. Now, it's true that I try to bring in other factors and entertainments here and there, and otherwise it gets, you know, it gets a little brittle to hear the same thing over and over again about the trouble we're in and he's killing us. It's all true. And it's a slow attrition. And he is slowly converting us into a nation that is unrecognizable. But you can't hear it every other day. You can't hear it every day, even. Once in a while, you can't hear it. But don't be depressed if you go home and some of your most intelligent friends who happen to be conservative have not heard that Obama put out one of the biggest lies in the century. Here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding. That unto itself, pandering to a Muslim audience at an extremism conference, would have been an impeachable offense for George Bush. Do you understand that? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Is this Eddie My Glove? Is this written for the winter? Eddie My Glove? Hey, Eddie, get me my glove. Eddie, get my glove. I want to talk about health issues. You know, I had a doctor friend once who I stopped talking to 25 years ago because, whatever, we ran in, he was jealous of my writing and ridiculed my book on maximum immunity. I never talked to him again. In a way, it's sad to drop a friend over a trivial insult like that, but I'm sort of like the guy, you know, the joke, what is the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? His enemies. Well, it sort of applies to my people as well. We never forget insults. Never. We're good to our friends. We never forget our friends. I go out of my way to make money for my friends or make sure my friends thrive. But if anyone insults me, I never forget the insult, ever. So this doctor wasn't a bad guy, but I remember once he had gone back to medical school late in life because he couldn't make a living. All right, so he did it, fine. And he really wanted access to the drugs because one of the doctor mentors of his boasted to him how he can get drugs in the hospital. Anyway, so one day he comes from his residency wearing his doctor shoes to show off whatever, you know, those things they put over the feet from the hospital floor. And I said, hey, Johnny, will you take your shoes off? Because you're carrying microorganisms into my house. The Japanese were thousands of years ahead of us with this. I don't let people in my house with their shoes on. Guess what? Shoes transmit disease. Leave them at the door. It's a new article which confirms your common sense, especially if you have children. And little children walking around crawling on the floor. I'll tell you what kind of bacteria people are bringing in with their shoes. Be Japanese. Be multicultural. Don't be a heathen. Leave your shoes outside the door. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Yeah, little girl of mine. Thank God it's Friday. I swear to God. As much as I love the show, I love Friday the best. Don't you? Why, I don't know, but I like it the best. Like, oh, I'm not going to work Saturday and Sunday. I'm miserable Saturday and I'm waiting for Monday. Saturday and Sunday are like a long, like a hiatus on the moon for me. The savage brain never sleeps. I don't know what to do with myself. I'll drive the Hellcat, even though I don't want to drive anything. The poor Jaguar's crying in the garage, the 1970 XKE. Poor thing, since I got the Hellcat. She's sitting there weeping away in the garage. To me, cars have a personality, like the headlights of the eyes. You know, you've seen them. I mean, non-hallucinogenic. I sold my boat so I don't go on the water anymore. Maybe I should get a new boat. I used to love looking at the birds. Well, I look at them from the deck of the house. I like the pelicans around now. They're fishing. They're an amazing species. You know, they were once pterodactyls. Evolutionary. I know you don't want to read that in the church, but the thing is they evolved from the pterodactyl. Preacher will tell you God made it in the Noah's Ark all at once. I don't believe it. I believe in God and evolution, incidentally. I really don't believe that a rational person can say every creature on the earth was created at the same time. I mean, if you've had a modicum of science, you know it's not true. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. God set it in motion, and then things happen. They evolved, just as we're evolving as a people, or shall I say devolving, from Vikings to punks. Who have their countries overrun from, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I mean, devolving as societies, as cultures, as humans. But anyway, here we are. I look at the birds. I watched this. Does anyone like pelicans as much as I, the way they fish? You know, the common seagull is underestimated in terms of its genius. You ever watch a seagull turn in the wind? A great Air Force pilot once told me what I'm about to tell you, which he didn't really tell me, but I'm sure an Air Force pilot has observed seagulls the way I do. Have you ever watched a seagull slow himself down for landing on the water? The same way that an F-15 slows down to land on a aircraft carrier. Of course, they're flying different planes, but you ever watch those planes? They look exactly the same as the birds. It's astounding to watch what birds do in turning in the wind, fighting each other in the air, how they turn and their maneuvers. It's amazing to watch nature. But the pelican is my favorite bird right now in that they fish like no other bird. They'll fly. And they drop straight down like a rock, boys and girls, straight down. They don't just swoop down. They drop like a rock. How do they get such vision? It's amazing to me. And you know, no matter what Obama does to this country, you know how to bring it back there. No matter how much this devious hater of America does damage to the nation, when I can't take another minute of it, I go out on my deck, I look at the birds, and I feel better because I know that this world will survive him. I just know it will survive him because it survived other evils. It will survive the evil that's emanating out of this man's brain and the horrible people he's brought with him to Washington. Many of them are worse than he is. We will survive them. That's what I say. We will not be defeated by them. No matter how they hate America, no matter how they connive to put these boll weevils into every aspect of our lives, I'm telling you, as sure as I stand here, we will survive them because this country is great and the people are greater than those left-wing, communist, socialist, Islamist fanatics who are ruining every aspect of this great society of ours. We're going to survive them. We will. At least that's what I believe. I'm perennially optimistic about that. And yet you look at a thing like this. Look at this news story. Showing our hand, question mark. U.S. military official outlines plan to retake Iraqi city of Mosul. Did you hear this story? Didn't make it to the local newspaper talking about homophobia or about the wonders of global warming. A U.S. military official on Thursday outlined plans to retake the vital Iraq city of Mosul from Islamic State terrorists as early as April. An unusual move that drew criticism that the so-called Pentagon was revealing too much information to the enemy. Now, why would they have done this? Why would they have signaled to the enemy when they're going to do it? How many Iraqi brigades will be involved? Why would they do it? That would be like Eisenhower giving a signal to Hitler that, yeah, D-Day's coming June 6th. Hey, Adolf! We're going to have X number of boats, X number of planes, X number of gliders, and we're going to be landing at this part of Normandy. Forget about the Fane up the coast up there in Belgium. We're coming into Normandy. Okay, Adolf? Message received? Three brigades of Kurdish Peshmerga, five Iraqi army brigades. So they give them the exact troop numbers. Do you understand that in another time, this military official would have been arrested and probably tried for treason for this? Do you understand this? Now, why would he do it so nakedly? Ah, Savage, you don't understand. This is all fake. They're throwing a feint at the Islamic State. They're not really going to do this. They're not really going to do it that way with that number of brigades. They're going to attack not from that side. They're not going to actually take Mosul. They're going to attack another city. They want to get them ready for Mosul when they're going to attack in Hosul. And then when they attack Hosul and take back Hosul, and then the ISIL run to Hosul, we'll take Mosul. So, Savage, you took it hook, line, and sinker. The telegraphs, the timing and number of units involved, and that would theoretically allow the Islamo-fascists known as ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to call them, just call them Nazis in headscarves, to prepare for the battle by laying improvised explosive devices. So why did Obama have approved this? Who knows? What's the difference? The same man who says Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding could say to them, tell them what you're going to do. What's the difference? Shut up. Take a walk. Go deliver a pizza. We don't care what you do. If the girls around me say, tell them that we're coming, you tell them that we're coming. Because they know that Marie Barth knows what she's talking about. She went to a great university. She knows what she's talking about. You tell the enemy, because we don't want him to be hit too hard. We want him to be hit, well, a little bit, but not too hard. She said, well, okay, Savage, you know, you're going in circles. You say we're going to survive, and yet he's giving away a plan like this. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Only God knows. 855-407-282. Let's take a caller or two before I say something that I regret. Line number one, W what? Go ahead, please. Station, name, topic.
WABC, Donna, I have a reason or an explanation of why Obama will not say Islamic terrorist. And it's because if he does not identify who our enemy is, then he's giving them cover and he does not have to fight them properly. But there's another dimension to it. It reminds me very much of the process of exorcising an evil spirit. Until you can get the devil or demon to announce its name, you cannot take control and then proceed to eliminate that demon. And there is something very parallel to Obama not bringing together Islamic terrorism, you know, together in terms of the public platform.
Well, let me backtrack on this because I've thought long and hard on it. As you well know, I'm a very fair person. People don't know that. And I'm capable of immense Solomon-esque-like viewpoints. From the point of view of a left-wing college professor whose father was a Muslim, it sort of makes perfect sense for the president to backtrack in every way possible about Islam, because he probably thinks, look, why provoke the entire larger Muslim world into a war against us when we know it's a limited number at this time, and we certainly know who the enemy is, and we know that that enemy is an enemy of the moderate Muslim, which they are, witness Jordan and Egypt striking them. So from his point of view, this college teacher who's now president, it's best not to incite the entire Muslim world in every statement that you make. You follow me? Donna, this is what he's thinking, and it's not really an irrational thought.
Well, I feel that he has been a plant, and this has all been designed.
Well, that I understand. Many people feel that, that he's a Muslim Brotherhood plant. I've read all of that literature. And, you know, what good does that do us to continuously repeat it? If it is true, what good does it do us to keep repeating it when there's going to be no effective outcome of that repetition? Who's going to say anything about it? All Giuliani had to say was he's not really an American and doesn't love America. Look what happened. Look who attacked him. Even Martha Washington did on Fox News, I understand. Right? So in other words, there's the truth and then there's the political truth. And you have to be very cautious in what you say, if in terms of what you want to achieve, Donna, that's very important.
Well, I follow a lot of Waleed Shubat and what he has to say, and I think that's where the answer and explanation for things will be found in the Bible.
Let's not go down the road of the Bible right now. I'm going to get into the Bible thumping, and you know, God bless people who are religious, but I go back and forth on biblical writings, to be honest with you. I don't take them literally. I take them as the writings not of God necessarily, but of man. And it's not to say God doesn't exist. I really still believe that there is a God. I've seen too many evidences thereof. But the thing is, if I look at the Old Testament, which I read in English, and I've read for years and years and years, whether it's Ezekiel or any of the prophets, these are men. They're not God. These were just men. So some of the poetry is exquisite and beautiful and all of that. And you can interpret it in so many different ways that you can say it's wisdom. It's like Nostradamus. You know, he said things, and, oh, wow, look at that. He knew it was coming. Did he really know it was coming? You know, so it's like, you know, you look at the Bible and you look at Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk. Some of the teachings were quite wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of them were draconian, monstrous, horrible. Such as stoning a woman to death if she committed adultery. You certainly don't believe in that, do you?
Certainly not.
All right, but the radical Islamists do. So they're still reading a 5,000-year-old text, which they've modified into their own religious text, and they think literally we're living in the 8th century, and you should stone adulterers, you should kill homosexuals, you should cut the infidel's throat. So the challenge is not to incite the average Muslim around the world into thinking we hate them all. That is a challenge, and the president's walking that thin line. I have to say this because I've thought about it long and hard. You say, well, wouldn't you rather he come down hard on Islamic terrorism? Yes. Wouldn't you rather that he join the Egypt and Jordan in a coalition to wipe ISIL off the map before they take Jordan or Egypt, God forbid? Yes. Yes, all of that is true. But from the point of view of winning hearts and minds, it probably isn't such a bad idea not to bash Islam on a daily basis. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't agree with me. I understand. You want to name the enemy, but you're in your desire to name, quote, the enemy, do you want to now incorporate a billion people when a billion people aren't terrorists?
Well, Michael, but we should at least be intelligent and not be importing more Muslims into this country. And we should be...
Well, that's a very serious question. It's a very serious question because we don't know how many of them are extremists. We don't know how many of them practice this Wahhabi sect of Islam, which should be a litmus test for any Muslim coming here. What sect of Islam are you? I mean, there's awful large sects of people in various religions. Are you an extremist who believes in Wahhabism? Well, you're not welcome here. It's not compatible with our civilization. What kind of society says any religion is valid? What if the religion says kill thy neighbor? That's a religion? That's not a religion. It's a war cry. So, no, you don't want that in under the guise of religion. That's a Trojan horse road to destruction.
Yep.
So this is, but you see, look, Donna, this is a very complicated problem, and the average person doesn't care less about it. They could care less. They themselves don't care. A Muslim, Shmuslim, they don't care one way or the other. They look the other way. They just don't care. Do you understand, Donna? And so if you're a politician and they are running the world, whether you want to admit it or not, they're running the world, not us. We have almost no voice in it. The only voice we have is every few years they let us, you know, cast a vote, which, if it's even matters anymore, whether who counts it is the issue, is about it. They don't care what we say. We just put the Republicans back in, and look what happened. Look what happened. Tell me where we go now. Tell me what we do now.
Well, we have to look at who Obama has in our different offices in the government. And
well, I know who they are. Many of them are sympathetic to the most extremist form of Islam, which is what you're saying. Right, Donna?
Yes,
yeah, I know that. Many of his appointees are espousing the exact rhetoric of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, you'd be shocked to find out that his entire conference on extremism was approved by the most extremist elements you can imagine. In other words, they gave the stamp of, he was reading from talking points put out by groups like CAIR. This was an approved conference with lies from the beginning to the end. Here in America, Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding? That's a lie. Who would have written such a thing as that? Those propagandists who want to change the entire world and rewrite history, they're called revisionists. And now they have a president as chief revisionist. I think that's what you're arguing. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. How's that? I absolutely don't want to talk. I'm exhausted from this. I can't stand it anymore. I'll tell you why. We're not making any headway. What we got to do is get that useless idiot Boehner and McConnell to stop acting like they were not put into power to change things. That's what you have to do. They should be giving the floor speeches, not me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Wouldn't it be nice to have a president who you didn't even doubt? You may not agree with some of his policies, but you knew he was an American and had America's best interests at heart. I mean, think about it. Just to even ask the question of why so many intelligent people are asking, does he love America? Doesn't he? Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Doesn't that indicate that the man has induced doubt in the minds of so many people and so many good people? Why? Why has he induced such doubt in so many millions of people? Ask yourself that question, Mr. Liberal, on the Upper East Side of New York, who thinks he knows everything, even though you got taken by Madoff. You were so smart, you lost $19 million to one of your cohorts there. So you don't think you know everything, do you? Because you don't. And you have to ask yourself why so many intelligent, good people, including Rudolph Giuliani, would even question Obama's love for America, because most of us don't think he loves America. We think the opposite is true. And so wouldn't it be nice to live in a time when you say, they may differ on policy and fiscal this and fiscal that, but we certainly don't question their loyalty to the country. That would be nice, wouldn't it, to have a president like that? Why is this guy so shadowy? Where did he come from? Who is he really? Why does he always have to explain that he loves America? Why is he always bending over backwards for Islam? Why did he attack Christianity? Why did he mention Jews in the deli in Paris? Why did he go to the meeting on solidarity with European leaders after the Paris attacks? Answer that, Mr. Liberal on the Upper East Side.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture, And here he is, Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Yeah.
Getting a headache from it. Thank God it's Friday for sure. And the enemies of America keep marching on. There are some who know in Congress. Representative McCall says the so-called extremism summit run by Hussein Obama was a psychotherapy session without substance. He's wrong. He got it wrong. He got it half right. He got the front of it and the face of it. President Barack Obama continues to be politically correct by insisting the United States is not at war with Islam, but House Homeland Security Chairman Michael McCall, God bless him, said today that ISIS will not only say it is at war with the U.S., but that it is fighting for religious reasons. I think we are at war with radical Islamists, said McCall. I think it is important to define the enemy to defeat the enemy. But Obama is trying not to offend the Muslim world, a Texas lawmaker said. Well, he's right on both fronts. But the three-day conference on combating violent extremism was not really about combating violent Muslim extremism, was it? No, it was about domestic terrorism. In other words, about those of you who listen to the Savage Nation, those of you who attend church and actually believe in God, those of you who are willing to fight to stop abortion, those of you who believe in traditional family values, you are the enemy. You are the enemy that this group of characters that have taken over America are really concerned about. That's what I think. There's many, many articles written about what really went on there that I can't even read on the air. You'd be shocked to find out what went on there. Do you know that the FBI director was not invited to the White House summit on extremism? You didn't know that. Oh, didn't make it to your local paper. Really? You didn't know that? Big deal. Ah, what's the big deal? Can't even find it, can you? The FBI director not invited to the White House summit on extremism. Why? Wasn't it the FBI director who just 2 weeks ago said that there are sleeper cells in every state of the union? Except Alaska. Now you know why Obama didn't invite him. He can't control him. We actually have an FBI director who knows what's going on, and he doesn't fit in with Jed Johnson. Who is Jed Johnson anyway? Where did he come from? Department of Homeland Insecurity? What do you mean Department of Homeland Security? They broke our borders? They won't acknowledge the fact that Islamists are amongst us? That's Homeland Security? It's not like they're working for the other side. There's a militant group running America. We know the enemy is ISIS. But when the extremism conference, so-called, does not invite the FBI chief, what is that about? Robert, get me that article. It's not. I think they purged it, by the way. I'm trying to download it. It will not come down. The headline says, FBI chief pointedly not invited to the terrorism conference. But then you try to download the article and it doesn't come down. It's been purged off the internet. Can anyone find that article? Is anyone as alarmed as I am that Obama did not invite the FBI chief to the extremism conference? Do you understand what that's about? I have an email here that I can't tell you who it came from. Then I may as well read it to you. The head of the Russian FSB, their CIA, was at the White House's conference, along with all the jihadi elements you would expect. And you know who was not invited? The FBI director. So you had the head of Russian intelligence and the Muslim Brotherhood and the president meeting at this extremist conference. So who are the extremists that they're countering? I guess the FBI is now the violent extremists. They're not part of the new America. They don't fit in with Jed Johnson. They don't fit in with Louis Gutierrez. They don't fit in with Eric Holder. So we have a war coming, folks. It's going to be worse than you could ever imagine. I don't want to scare you, but I actually do think that everything I wrote in Stop the Coming Civil War is true, or else I wouldn't have written the book to begin with. But I happen to think that it's getting closer every day. You say, oh, come on, don't try to scare us. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to alert you. What should you do, arrest Paul Revere? What do you want to arrest Paul Revere when he ran through the colonies saying the British are coming, the British are coming? What do you want to do, arrest Paul Revere as being an extremist, an alarmist? You wanted to boycott his advertisers? What do you want to do, tell the man who made his horseshoes to stop making his horseshoes? Kill his horse? Arrest Paul Revere for being an extremist, an alarmist, a liar? That book that I wrote, which is still out there, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, was a bestseller for many weeks. And I am telling you that it's just as valid today as the day I wrote it. And the war that they are conducting, Obama and Holder and the Muslim Brotherhood, the war they're conducting marches on with almost no awareness by the individuals in the media, let alone the government. And it's all in there. It's an architectural plan of what's coming. And my goal was to stop the coming civil war. And I said it's about the conflict that the current administration is pushing in the name of a broader worldwide liberal revolution. Did you know I wrote this? I wrote this. As I see it, the forces of the left are attempting nothing less than a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. This world liberal revolution is what the tens of millions of conservative, law-abiding Americans are fighting against, often without even knowing it. We are the equivalent of the anti-communists who fought Stalin. The conservatives, the independents in our country, those who still believe in the family, in personal and religious freedom, in the Constitution of the United States, who are standing up to an increasingly overbearing federal government, we are the new resistance. Everything is at stake, I wrote. Unless this power grab is arrested, we will all become serfs to the New World Order. In the Soviet Union, if a person did not comply with the dictates and politics of the Communist Party, at first they were ignored. That meant that any reference to them disappeared from the Soviet newspaper Pravda. I, Michael Savage, am the most famous media personality in the history of the San Francisco Bay Area. Starting with a local show 20 years ago, I became famous for my writings on my radio show, which is now syndicated nationally and carried by more than 250 stations around the United States. And yet in the San Francisco Bay Area, I am a non person. I am ignored. I am never mentioned by the Stalinist local newspaper or in the local media. It is as though I have been disappeared. I am in the liberal gulag, a gulag in which the only things that are permitted to be talked about are actors, singers, sports figures, degenerates, anti-Americans, occupiers, and Democrats. These are the only heroes the American Soviet media will talk about. Those who oppose the individual freedoms championed by Western civilization are considered heroes, while those of us who uphold Western values are looked upon as the enemy. That's on page 251 of the most important book of our time, Stop the Coming Civil War. And here's what I say, well, what can you do about it? Unless this liberal revolution is stopped and turned back, there will be a civil war in the United States, which is more than likely to be crushed by a leftist fascist government that is already preparing to quell what it anticipates will be massive civil unrest. I wrote that on page 252. Not since the run-up to the Civil War have we as a country been more divided. The battle lines have been drawn. The haves against the have-nots. The illegal aliens against hard-working middle-class families. Liberals who hate the Second Amendment versus lawful gun owners. Millions of whom are refusing to register their weapons and ammunition in states like Connecticut. Climate activists whose policies cause forest fires and exacerbate drought against those who understand that the effect of human activity on the climate is negligible. Anti-Christian communist educators against God-fearing families. Republicrats against patriots. Yes, you heard me. It was Brutus who stabbed Caesar. Judas who gave Christ up to the Romans. It's always the ones closest who do the most damage when they turn. Do you understand what I'm saying? The see-through conservatives who rule the Republican Party are in league with Democrats. It's as simple as that. And I talk about all the things that were done. And then I write this. Even if this criminal administration falls short of what I think is its goal of seeing Americans fighting Americans in an all-out civil war on American soil, Obama's disregard for the rule of law marches us, at the very least, further along toward a mid-21st century dictatorship. We are becoming the Union of Soviet States of America. The USS of A. And there's more for you to read. I don't want to read from my own book. Many of you have the book and have read it. And then I go to this because here's something even you liberal crackpots can agree with me on. Like every communist country, we have become a surveillance state in which the NSA can track our every move. If the KGB had had the technology that is now being used to monitor every American's daily activities, we'd all be speaking Russian. There's much more in it. Your freedoms have been limited. And yet, Obama, as he takes matters into his own hands, making and changing laws and policy unilaterally, and as he does, a compliant Congress sits quietly and does nothing. There's hardly a whimper, right? executive orders, ruling by fiat. So my questions for you are these. On page 257 of the most important book of our time, Stop the Coming Civil War. How did an unknown senator from Illinois become president of the United States? How did an unknown cardinal, the first non-European in 1,400 years, and from a country with a Marxist history, become pope? How did an avowed Sandinista supporter with strong socialist leanings become mayor of the largest city in America? Is this a sign of the times, or is it something more sinister? This book is an attempt to alert the American people to inexorable forces that are moving the nation toward an alliance with the worldwide socialist movement. What strikes me as ironic, even prophetic, is that the last bulwark against this rush towards socialism may be Vladimir Putin, exclamation point. Did anyone actually read that? Did you read what I said? What strikes me as ironic, I wrote, even prophetic, is that the last bulwark against this rush towards socialism may be Vladimir Putin. Russophobia seems to motivate both Obama and the EU leadership. Putin stands in their way. We have the Pope appearing before the nations of the UN and calling for income redistribution. He's trading on what he sees as the sins of the church by calling for income redistribution. He calls for amnesty for illegal aliens, which is nothing less than sovereignty redistribution in the form of land and resources redistribution. What would you call that? Is that not socialism? The American people do not want to give up their sovereignty to people coming here from Mexico and other third world countries. And yet both parties in America are rushing over the cliff into the abyss of granting amnesty to at least 30 million illegal aliens. And I go on to socialized medicine. And I say that if the people of the U.S. do not wake up, etc. How many people have benefited from reparations in this country? My grandfather was an immigrant who died in his tailor shop at 47 from overwork. Should I pay reparations? It is my opinion. You see what I'm saying. That's why I'm so impassioned as an immigrant son and why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. It would be a disaster to permit this devious administration from provoking us into such an act. Instead, he must be impeached immediately, because only an impeachment hearing will expose him for what he is, what he has done, and what he intends to do. It would stop his amnesty in its tracks. It would stop his gun-grabbing agenda in its tracks. I know that Congress would never vote to impeach, but I also know that impeachment hearings held in the light of day would open the nation up to the dangers that we are facing on a daily basis from this administration. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to take your calls. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We have breaking news in the Savage Nation that should be a screaming, bold headline in every newspaper in America, waking you up the way Paul Revere woke up the colonists that the British were coming. Listen carefully, dumbbells. The FBI chief, the chief of the FBI of the United States of America, was pointedly not invited to the so-called summit on extremism held by Barack Hussein Obama. Now, why would he do that? The White House did not invite the director of the FBI to its summit on countering violent extremism. Why? And why would they invite the FBI's Russian counterpart, Alexander Bortnikov, to the meeting? Who in the government is leading the country's efforts to counter extremists? Why would Obama have cut the head of the FBI out? Well, the government said that Mr. FBI's boss, Attorney General Eric Holder, and you know how American he is. You know how much he loves America. You know how much he loves police. You know how much Eric Holder loves America. That's like putting Al Sharpton at the meeting. So they put Holder there, a man who's been thrown out of office because of his extremist behavior, and several FBI officials who have participated on panels but not the head of the FBI. So who are these FBI officials? I have their names. You don't have their names, do you? If you see the names, your hair will stand up. You will see who the FBI officials are that Obama permitted at the meeting, which was largely attended by Muslims, and you'll see why they were there. And the band played on. That's a big weekend coming up. Got to see what movies and sports and entertainments are available. When Obama was asked why they didn't invite the head of the FBI, here's what one of the spokesmouths said, one of the sorority girls.
Well, the FBI works tirelessly to keep the country safe. And this conference was not centered on federal law enforcement.
See? One day there should be war crimes trials, like a Nuremberg trial, where the spokesgirls should be tried in sackcloth. They should be forced to wear sackcloth and take off the secondhand clothing they're wearing and throw away the costume jewelry and answer why they agreed to go along with it, knowing that they were undermining the pillars of our safety and freedom. The official said that the administration's efforts to counter violent extremists are premised on the notion that local officials and communities can be an effective bulwark against violent extremism, and most of the participants reflected this bottom-up approach. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea what's going on? There's been a virtual coup in the intelligence communities. One of the first shots was fired by the Queen of Diamonds herself, Dianne Feinstein, when she undermined the CIA. Was it the Queen of Hearts? Or is it the Queen of Shopping Carts? Or is it the Queen of Military Contracting? I can't tell. Think about it. Go home and sleep well, my friends.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
There is a coup brewing. Just kidding, of course. Obama didn't invite the chief of the FBI to a meeting on countering violent extremism because he feared that the FBI director was a little too American or a little too loyal to the Constitution, or that there would be things said with a wink and a nod that they didn't want this old FBI director to see or hear. No, none of that is true, because Obama's a good man. He's a loyal American, and he loves America, and he has America's best interests at heart, which is why he said that Islam has been woven into the fabric of our country since its founding, to applause. In other words, he rewrote history the way the Soviets did. Remember the Lysenko affair I told you about, how they rewrote science? They invented a form of genetics that didn't exist. They hated genetics, so they invented a form of thinking that was completely false in the Lysenko affair. So now Obama's creating the equivalent of the Lysenko affair about Islam. He says Islam has been woven into the fabric of a country since its founding. Anyone who heard that would say he's either delusional or an absolute Soviet in the true sense of rewriting history right in front of our eyes. But why wouldn't he have the FBI director there? Let's put aside the intellectualisms and the complicated stuff that the average person can't follow. Let's just ask the average moron in the streets of America, excuse me, sir, did you hear anything about the anti-terrorism conference that Obama had the other day? Duh, no. So they don't even know about the conference. Don't bother me with it. I don't care about it. Who knows what they're doing? They're just a bunch of idiots anyway. Who cares? So the average person doesn't even know about the conference. It was nothing but fluff to them. But I think they might ask, well, why would you have Russia's equivalent of the post-Soviet KGB at this conference, but not the head of the FBI? Why would you put Eric Holder there when he's been thrown out of office and he'll soon be leaving? Why would you exclude the head of the FBI? Don't they have the lead in watching the enemies within? Well, there's the answer. That's why they were not included. You see, the FBI, whether you know it or not, is still a comparatively independent intelligence unit in the United States of America. The more loyal intelligence unit in America is that run by the man named Jed Johnson, who nobody knows who he is or where he came from. Nobody knows his background. Nobody knows why he was made the head of the DHS. But we know that he's one of the foot soldiers in Obama's march. And we know that the new DHS is a wholly owned subsidiary of the sorority surrounding Obama. The FBI is a little too independent for them. And so they didn't invite Comey because he wouldn't bend to their knee. He would not answer to the king, to the emperor. That's certainly apparently what happened. And they didn't want him privy to information that was being shared with a wink and a nod. You know, the way you watch these movies. I'm a fan of gangster movies. So in the old days, you'd watch the gangsters walking. And when they were saying something, they wouldn't do it overtly. They'd run a toothpick in their teeth and put their hand over their mouth if the FBI was watching. Remember the funny movies like Goodfellas or whatever? They would talk like that with a hand over their mouth. You couldn't see what the mouth was because they could read lips. The FBI had been trained to read lips. So you can have an FBI agent there trained to read lips. You have to have someone there who's trained to be a puppet. A puppet of the new administration. See, it's a new administration. This is actually a new Obama administration. What you're seeing is a new Obama administration, not the old one. Have you noticed he's become a little more naked in his statements, attacking Christianity, omitting Jews, lauding Islam, downplaying Islamic terror? Have you noticed how naked he's become in his biases? He wouldn't have done this 2 years ago. He certainly wouldn't have done it before the election. But now he figures, it's 2 years until Armageddon. And what can we do to squeeze every last drop of change out of these 2 years? Well, what you do is you have an extremism conference, and you don't target Muslims. You don't target the cells that are sitting here, according to the FBI. What you do is you target people who are, you know who I mean, you. You, the listener of talk radio, you're probably the real target of this administration. Get it? Now, I realize this is a little too heavy for a Friday afternoon. I get it. I understand it's too heavy for Bill Maher or that shill, the government shills, on the fake comedians. The shills like Bill Maher and whatever, Colbert, they're all shills. They're government jesters. They're government jesters. They would never touch a topic like this, which is why they have laugh tracks, which is why they read teleprompters. They're government agents, government jesters. Oh, they act like they're wild and free with marijuana, and they're just crazy guys. They're just the craziest, wild guys. They're so anti-establishment, you know, which is why HBO gives them a slot, or MTV, because they're so wild and crazy. They give you fake news, fake panels, anti-Americanism. Ask them why they don't cover this fact. So that's the story. That's where we're living today. Is it more dangerous than I ever can believe it would be? Yes. Will it get worse? Yes. Do I think I know what's coming? Yes. Do I dare tell you what's coming? Well, kind of. I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War, didn't I? What do I have to do, talk in tongues? Anyone can see what this man is doing. He's signaling what he's going to do. He is going to get more and more outrageous as the weeks and months go on. He's going to insult more and more of us. He's going to try and marginalize more and more of us who love this country. He's going to attack more and more of us who love our borders, language, and culture, just as they are, thank you. Yes, it's coming. Coming to a neighborhood near you quite soon. So what the heck can you do about it? At the end of the day, what can you do? You went to the polls. You elected the opposition party. They did nothing. You got a few good people saying this and that. Ted Cruz says the right thing. A few of them mumble this and mumble that. But they've been marginalized by the stooges in the media. The government media complex marches on. Only one of them fell last 2 weeks ago because he was so caught lying about his great war hero experience. So, you know, but the rest of them march on. The pancake makeup men, the girls, the lipstick girls on Fox News, the leg crossers. Have any of the leg crossers on Fox News, including Martha Washington, asked why the FBI chief was not invited to a meeting on countering violent extremism and been as alarmed as they should be about this naked power grab by Obama? All right, let's move on. I told you it wouldn't be about Obama bashing, but all it's been is about Obama bashing. How can you avoid it? I mean, we're living in sort of like the end of times here. You know, every day somebody's like, look, I don't want to talk about this guy, but I have to talk about him because I feel that he's at war with America. You hear? I have to tell you, I feel as though they're at war with America. For example, at this conference where this head of the secret DHS was there, Jed Johnson. Listen to what he did in bending over backwards in clip 8. Listen to 8. We have the sound.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country and the discrimination that they face.
Ah, come on. Get out the violin.
I'm committed to speak out about the situation that very often people in the Muslim community in this country face.
Liar.
The fact that there
turn
are
it off. He's a liar. He's a propagandist and a liar. He's reading a script written for him by one of the dumb girls that went to one of the dumb universities that worked for Dumbo the Clown in the White House. But he's not so dumb. He's not so dumb. He didn't become president by being dumb, did he? I need a Tums, not some Dums. This keeps up. I'll need a box of Tums by the night is over. I don't even take that stuff. Yeah, things are bad. Hey, could you play some music to lighten me up like B.B. King? When Love Comes to Town, I'm going to jump that train. I want to go to Memphis and hear B.B. King live before I go to heaven. And my idea of heaven is not 16 virgins or 60 virgins. I never wanted to be a child rapist. I don't understand how anyone can believe in that without being sick to their stomachs. Can't you find love in this world, you sick thing? I can't wait for it to come. I've had enough of this. I'm sick of it all. What do I mean by let's get it on? Let's what get on? I don't know. I'm just keep playing it. I'm just rambling on. I want to read something to you. I can't find my own newsletter. AOL's acting up again. The worst email ever created in the world is AOL. I've had it since 1994, and I type in bold caps like a telegram. People hate it. They think I'm cursing them. I'm not. Robert, didn't you send it to me? I here it is. ISIS hasn't... Wait, play it loud. Here we go. Okay, I want to go to Memphis this weekend. I think I want to go to Memphis this weekend in my imagination. I want to walk around Beale Street. I want to eat ribs and drink some beer and listen to music at night. But I'm not going to go. Instead, I'm going to spend the boring weekend in San Fran, Green Harrow. Okay, here's my newsletter for February 20th. And by the way, you can get them for free by going to michaelsavage.com. You click on the newsletter box, and it comes into your inbox 3 times a week, and it doesn't cost you anything. And it's sort of the essence of my shows, you know, good stuff from it. Tell me if you agree with this. The headline is, ISIS hasn't seen the real America yet. In today's issue, on a trip to the beach in L.A., Dr. Savage observed ordinary fathers of all races enjoying a day out with their families. He asked, would these men allow ISIS to touch their wives and children? Of course not, Savage said. The vermin have no idea what American men are really like. The real America hasn't been seen yet, Savage told his listeners. These vermin, these throwbacks, think that American men are the weak ones they see in the media created by Hollywood and the ad agencies. Every ad shows a white weakling. All he wants is a pizza and a Toyota and a stomach aid. The Islamo-fascist has not yet seen the real American man. When he does, he'll have his own throat cut. This country will be pushed to the point where when we'll finally get a real leader. I'm telling you right now, Hillary Clinton is unelectable. We know she's not capable of defending this nation. People want someone to come along who will unleash our military on these vermin and protect us here. They want a man to stand up and say he will wipe them off the planet. Right now, the roar of Obama's silence while Christians and Jews are being slaughtered is deafening. Now play When Love Comes to Town, because I want to hear that again. You ever see this guy? He's got diabetes, he's overweight, and at 78, he still does world tours, like, I don't know, 300 tours a year, 180. He's got clubs all over the country. I love this guy's energy. That's the goal I have for myself. After these progressives have been tried by a people's tribunal at a sort of domestic Nuremberg trial for what they've done to this country and destroying it, just at the last minute, I'm telling you as I stand here, something is going to come along to save us from these vermin. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
A real hero has arisen in Congress, and he was elected in November, by the way. Put at the back of the bus by the Quislings, Boehner and McConnell, those working hand in glove with the Islamists in the Obama administration to blind us, stupefy us, overrun us, because all they care about is big business, Keystone Pipeline. They did their job. Now they can go get drunk and work on the turkey farm. Tom Cotton, an Iraq war vet, spoke, and he said a lot. He had a lot to say. He said the ISIS group is already winning, whether Obama labels them Islamic or not. Listen to clips 11 and 12 on the Savage Nation.
The
Islamic State doesn't need any credibility or legitimization from Barack Obama. They get that on their own by the successes they've achieved in Iraq and Syria. They appear to many radical Muslims all around the world to be winning this war right now. And people like a winner. As vicious as the Islamic State has been towards Jews and Christians, killing them, cutting off their heads, burning them alive, they're just as vicious to most Muslims in Iraq and Syria who are struggling under their yoke right now and where they're only expanding to gain more territory and control of more people. The reason they're doing that is not because they're representative of the Muslim faith. The reason they're doing it is because they have more arms and weapons and more soldiers, and no one is standing up to them. And that's what this president needs to do.
Tom Cotton, a true returning veteran. He'd be on the extremist list of the Jed Johnson. I wouldn't be surprised if the DHS is not following Tom Cotton. Put him on the extremist list, along with maybe the FBI chief is on the extremist list to this administration. It seems as though we've already had a coup. They didn't invite the FBI chief to the White House summit on extremism, but they invite the equivalent of the KGB chief. What does that tell you? We're at war with Russia, but the head of the equivalent of the KGB is invited. What does that tell you? Oh, who can follow it all? I know it's complicated. And I'm just a talk show host. There's only so much I can do. But I think that there are enough men and women, mainly the returning war veterans, former FBI officials, current FBI officials, former intelligence officers, some current intelligence officers, and yes, even a few members of Congress who know that there's a coup that has been conducted in this country on a slow burning level, and that now the chief chef of this coup is turning up the flames. He's turning the heat up on the coup to see if he can boil the frogs even faster because the time is running out. He wants to boil the frogs at a slightly higher temperature before they even know they're gone. He's got to get that heat up because time is running out. He has not yet done all of his work, and he needs to turn the heat up under that fire and boil all the frogs that remain who are squawking about the takeover of our borders, language, and culture. Not a bad analogy. Another big hour across America. Go to michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three of the Savage Nation, heard across America, right here on your local station. And what shall we talk about now? I'm not going to talk about Obama and his silent coup on America, meaning the FBI chief not invited to a meeting on countering violent extremism. Why wouldn't he do that? Why would he exclude the FBI chief? What does he not want him to know? What does he not want him to know amongst the Muslims who were attending there? I mean, come on, let's talk real here. But I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about the Oscars. I'm not going to watch them. I never do. Boring. Boring. It's a trade show. It's like a plumber's trade show to me. Sanitation men have trade shows like the Oscars lately. Instead of holding up a golden idol, big deal. Oh, big deal. Big deal. Did you know that this is the lowest grossing year in the history of film in the modern era? The Hollywood Reporter, Oscars and box office. This is the lowest grossing year in the modern era. Despite the winner, American Sniper. Why is that? Why is it that Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein can't produce a movie that America likes? Answer. Because the Academy's taste is at odds with that of the public. The taste of Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Geffen is at odds with that of the American public. They've been pushing their leftist, socialist, politically correct agenda down the throats of America with their movies for so long. The people say, you know what, we don't want to watch it anymore. And secondly, there's another reason. The TV shows are better than the movies. I got to tell you something. The productions on the cable channels are far better than the movies now. I watch the series like Vikings, like I used to watch Sopranos. There are other series that I've enjoyed. I forget his name, the detective one from L.A. Donovan. I hope it comes back. It should be back. That was great. But they're not making movies like this. Instead, they're making these, I don't know what they're, I guess they're thinking of international exposure, and what will an average person in Pakistan think of the movie? That's what the bankers are saying, and that's what I think. All right, the script is good, but will it sell in India? You know, put an Indian music script behind it, and nah, it won't work. Maybe that's why the movies aren't working. They're no longer American-oriented, right? So, who knows? This is an interesting story in the Hollywood Reporter here. Caught my eye. I can't believe this. Hollywood's disappearing Chinese money. That's interesting. But here's a bit of Deer Hunter director's first interview in 13 years. Michael Cimino touts Clint Eastwood for president. Blast rumors he's becoming a woman. Another one becoming a woman? Can anyone explain to me why anyone has been wanting to be a tranny granny all their lives and they wait until they're 70? I don't understand that. I could see if you're in Brazil and you're 18 and you're a little confused, you might consider it. But at 70, you're going to think of becoming a woman? Do you know any woman at 70 who wants to be a woman? Robert's even shaking his head. I don't get this trend now. What is this, like just upstaging the other guy who's simply gay? Is that what this is? This is how crazy this is becoming. It's not cool enough now just to be gay and have a husband as a gay man. Now you have to be a transsexual who cuts your schmendrick off and becomes a woman. I really don't follow this. I'm telling you the truth. It's insanity. It's the meltdown of an entire society. It's insane. That's how I see it. Blasts rumors he's becoming a woman. Another one? Him too? What, is this really true? No, he's becoming a woman. Riffing on war films and putting long-standing rumors to rest that he's becoming a woman. How exciting. Are you really a woman? Did you want to be a woman? Did you always want to be a woman? Is there a woman within? Is there a woman without? When did you first be seen a woman? When did you first put on your mother's shoes? When did you first put on lipstick? Did you really always want to be a woman? Is it only now? Do you think it's later? Is it a good thing to be a woman at 70? What would you be as a woman at 70? Would you imitate your mother, your grandmother, your aunts, your uncles? Who would you actually be as a woman? Why do you want to be a woman? Are most women at 70 not really sexual anymore? What are you going to get out of it? Why are you converting? Why are you cutting it off? Why are you putting it on? Why would you want to be a woman when there's no sex anyway? So what's the difference? I don't understand this. It's just that Robert's laughing because I don't get this. Why are all these Hollywood guys suddenly wanting to be a woman? Most women don't want to be women after a certain age. That's the God's honest truth. Ask women if they really love being a woman after a certain age. Time and gravity catches up with all of us, but it's kinder to men than to women. So that's the actual reality of it. Guy couldn't wait to be a tranny granny. That's what he's been waiting for his whole life, Teddy. His whole life he was dying to be a woman at 70. I mean, I always loved my grandmother, but the fact is that what it's all about? Didn't you remember the movie that Hitchcock did years ago with the Graham with the clothing and the hill and the this and the psycho with the knife and the shower? That wasn't enough to scare anyone from wanting to. I don't get this. I just don't get this. I guess I'm not part of the new America. I just don't quite understand this absurdity. You know what I feel about it. It's male genital mutilation. Now, we all know that female genital mutilation is banned in America, as it should be, even though it's practiced by many Muslims on their poor innocent daughters and the government looks the other way. We understand that. That's going on in the country. It's a horrible thing to do that to a girl. That's bad enough. But what about male genital mutilation, which these sex change operations is male genital mutilation? To me, it's crazy. It should be outlawed. That's all. I hope I don't offend you with giving you my view of the world. It's just my view of the world. Certainly, it's not going to change anyone's opinion. After all, I have no power. I'm only a talk show host. Okay, 855-400-7282. American Sniper. Chris Kyle's widow has sent her a quiet furor over profits. What do they want from her? Why are they mad at her? What did she do? She took the money? So what? Taya Kyle, wife of the film's hero, hasn't paid two families of soldiers her late husband promised to support as her share of proceeds tops $6 million. Does she owe them? Legal experts say no, but moral obligation is a whole other story. Oh, really? Moral obligation. That's such a liberal thing, telling her what to do with her money. Oh, you have a moral obligation to support those soldiers. Well, why don't you support the other soldiers if you care so much? You have nothing but money to burn there in L.A. Take one less trip on the fuel alone from Geffen's yacht. You can support three families for a year. If Geffen put the kept the yacht in harbor for 1 year and one season and didn't burn the fuel to run his 350-foot yacht around, he could support all the soldiers in the world who need support. Tell you tomorrow. When he was alive, Chris Kyle told friends and business associates that he viewed any profits from his memoir, American Sniper, as blood money. The legendary Navy SEAL's account of his four tours of duty in Iraq was adapted into the Eastwood movie. They're now up for six, including Ben, and maintained that he wanted the money to go to support struggling military families. After Kyle and a friend were shot and killed in 2013 by a veteran Kyle was helping, blah, 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 through his book became a bestseller. He never collected money from it, friends said, donating the proceeds to the families of two friends and fallen SEAL members, Ryan Job and Markley. All right. That's a valid statement. But she's not obligated to give them the money. And no one should try to impose it upon her. That's my opinion. I raised money for veterans. Remember that wonderful veteran who got blown up in Afghanistan who came back and they took his dog away and I helped him get his dog back? Remember him? Well, he's out now. He's out of the hospital. He's out of the military. He's retired. And I promised him a van. Do you remember that? I'm not boasting about it. I've donated $15,000 from the Savage Legal Fund to him to buy himself a used van. Okay? Was I obligated to give it to him? No. Why did I give it to him? Because I felt bad that the man went to serve the country and came back wrecked, and then the government stole his dog from him. So I helped him. I've helped other veterans. And by the way, since I'm talking about this, I have the Savage Legal, the Savage Scholarship Fund as well, and we are getting such remarkable young people submitting essays. You're not going to believe this. We're waiting until the end of March to pick the winners, and then when we do, which will be announced July 4th, we'll read them on the air. We'll have the winners on the air, I think, if they're not shy, to read their own essays, or I'll read them for them if they are too shy. And I'm giving each of, I think, 10 winners. I forget how much I'm giving. I don't remember anymore. I swear, I can't carry it all in my head. I'm doing too many things, to be honest with you. I'm trying to do too much, you know, with 2 years. I think they get $10,000 a year each. Right, five winners. It's $100,000 I'm donating. So anyway, the time will come that if I need you to help me with the scholarship fund, it's becoming so beautiful doing this for me. It's given me sort of a new lease on the radio show. When I see the essays that these young people are submitting and I hear their stories, you can't believe how many people out there are in need and how many people need help and how many of them love this country. They have no chance in the colleges. The colleges don't have scholarships for people who love America. They have scholarships for illegal aliens. They have scholarships targeted for every imaginable anti-American concept you can think up. So I put together a scholarship on the best essay of what it means to be an American. And from the conservative point of view. And I think that I'm enjoying this so much and there's so much need out there that I'm making a statement right now because I just decided last night around 11:30 when I was working on these. Is that we're probably going to continue this for years to come, and I'm going to leave it as a legacy. I'm probably going to leave it long after I'm gone from radio, gone from the world. I'm going to have the Savage Scholarships running. I think for in perpetuity, I'm going to do it through my own donations, the donations of my family, friends of the family, and then maybe even you if you want to contribute to it. I'm not set up for the donations now. I'm just giving you an advance notice of where I'm going with this. We've got to help the young kids who love America because those who hate America are being cultivated by the vermin in the universities. I mean, the solenterates. I said I wouldn't use the word vermin. I take it back. The solenterates in the universities. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I don't like the songs anymore. I'm not in a rock and roll mood. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's go to some callers. Here's some news. Big deal. No one cares. Europe has agreed to extend its financial lifeline to the lazy Greeks by 4 months. In other words, the bums in Greece who just elected a communist official and the communist party in order to make certain they don't have to pay back the debts so they could sit on their behinds under the Parthenon and smoke cigarettes. They don't want to work. What do they want to work for? If Germany is going to work and support them, why would they want to pay back the loan? They're like America's welfare class, leeches. So Greece has become the leech of Europe. I'm sorry to put it that way. We're not paying it back. We're putting a communist in power. Promise us we don't have to pay it back. So now suddenly the deal is struck today, and Greece is going to be kept afloat safely in the euro. What did the Greeks threaten? That if you don't bail us out forever, we will withdraw from the euro and we'll replace it with our local currency, which could make the entire concept of the new Soviet Union collapse. Because the EU is the new Soviet Union light with a single currency. You get it? Greece must still come up with a list of reforms acceptable to its creditors. Blah, blah, blah. What will that be? Will they work? That's like asking America's Obama voter to work. So that's it. The Greek government, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's take some callers. Line number three. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
All right. This is Mike calling from San Jose. I'm listening on KSFO streaming because I work for a living, and I'm actually working as we speak. I just want to congratulate you on your opening soundbite. You need to hear a lot more of that from other people, and your long list of Obama's influences on why he loves America so much.
Yeah, why is it that Obama, if Obama loved America so much, why is it even a question?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's perfect.
In other words, I'm sorry, think about this. And say, oh, you're crazy, he loves America. Well, why are we even discussing it? Because it's questionable whether he does.
Of course.
That's all. That's logical. That's all. Next case, let's move on. Figures. What else do you have to think about? Line number eight. I can't see in the dark here. I'm working in a dark studio in the middle of the day. Line number eight, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Linda Coates, WMALDC. My topics today are the terrorists on the internet and 10 million patriot marching on Washington. If the United States invented the internet, owns it, the American people own it, what are these terrorist vermin doing using the internet? Why cannot we shut them down on their social sites, their cell phones? They should be using smoke signals. Why cannot we get rid of their ability to communicate?
Well, how do you stop some but not all?
Google can do this, that, and the other.
How could Google stop the Muslim terrorists from communicating with each other?
ISIS. All of those people.
I'm saying, how could Google stop the Islamists from communicating with each other?
I don't know. Maybe the Chinese know. I was just...
Well, nobody knows. Because I don't think you can single out, you can block certain customers, but how do you know who to block? You're going to block everyone using the internet and using Arabic? You can't do that?
No, but you know, our country listens to everything we say.
Well, that's right, especially if you love America and you go to church. You're definitely on the list of the Department of Homeland Security.
Right, so why can't we find out who these people are who hate America in our country? As well as...
Well, maybe that's what the FBI was trying to do, and that's why Mr. Comey was not invited by Obama to the extremist conference.
Maybe so. There are a few left. Obama has...
There are a few left, but remember this. There were only a few before the revolution in America. Most of America didn't want to fight the British.
Right.
You know that. So we don't need everyone to join us. We just need a few to stand up and be counted. And I think that we're starting to stand up and be counted.
10 million people in Washington.
I don't know who's going to lead that march.
I don't know.
Here's another story. You ready for this? California lawmakers, you know they're all perverts, urge Archbishop to nix morality clauses. You hear this? The lawmakers are telling the church not to talk about morality. I thought there was a separation of church and state. That means a separation of state and church, isn't it? But the communist... what's the point of categorizing? When you say California lawmaker, that's an oxymoron. There's not California lawmakers. They're lawbreakers. They urge the Archbishop of San Francisco to remove from a teacher's handbook morality clauses. They say discriminatory and divisive. Can you believe this? They said that the Archbishop sends a message that's intolerant to youth. What youth? What is Catholic school for but to teach the moral way? If you don't like it, send them to a government school where they learn to sleep with a teacher. Don't send them to Catholic school. Catholic school should be strict and moral. That's why people send them there. Not for more of the slime coming out of the government schools. California lawmakers, Put your heads in a sewer where they belong.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking about the slow coup that Obama and his minions have conducted on America, which is why the question is being asked, does he love America? Nobody would ask that question of presidents in the past. It would not even be a question. You may not like their policies, but you wouldn't question their loyalty. Why shouldn't you question his loyalty with his behavior? Attacking Christians, attacking Jews, sympathetic to Muslims, no matter what they do. Maybe 100 other things, but the fact of the matter is, this is the reason people are asking that question. I realize the weekend's coming up, and I have to decide over the weekend whether I'm going to have macaroni, fettuccine, ravioli, tortellini, gnocchi, linguine, rigatoni, penne, cappellini, spaghetti, lasagna. I'm deciding what pasta dish I'm going to enjoy tonight somewhere. Living well is the best revenge at the end of the day. Do I want mixed vegetables? Do I want wild rice? Do I want French fries? Dessert I never have with a meal, never. That's why I'm alive. You don't know that. One of my secrets of my life, why I'm still living, I mean, I could die tomorrow. Could die on the air, though. You could hear a thud in a minute. I don't know. God holds the keys, not me. But I don't eat dessert. I do not eat dessert. The only dessert I ever eat is grapes or fruit. I do not eat sweets. The sugar disease is the most important thing for you to know about your health. It's far more deadly than fats. The doctors will catch up with that in about 25 years. 855-407-282, filet of soul. And I'm looking at an Italian menu. My mind's already drifting to the weekend. I had enough already about the takeover and the coup and the this and the that. I'm looking at a takeout menu that I got. It always comes smaller and hot and cold. I don't use these services. They're supposed to deliver it. And they always charge you more for the same meal. Then they put in a delivery fee. And then it arrives cold and it's upside down. I don't like takeout. I stopped eating Thai food. Did you hear about that? I won't eat it anymore. Spices make my skin. Chinese I won't touch. I don't eat that anymore. Slimy. I can't eat it. I'm not a bean eater, so I don't eat Mexican. If you like it, God bless you. I basically have gone only to European foods. It's my culture. I stick to my cultural foods. And sorry, I mean, you call it. Is that somehow menuist? Robert, is that a menuist thing to say you only like European foods if you're European-American? I think to be a true multiculturalist, you have to eat a multitude of foreign dishes. Indian, I stopped eating. Indigestion in a can. I almost got killed by those dogs off the highway. I'm never going there again. That's over. So there's nothing left. Japanese, I don't eat. I don't like the pinworms in the sushi, excuse me. What's this craze with sushi? I used to eat it until I realized that it's raw fish. And raw fish is generally infested with pinworms. I know you don't want to believe it. I see all of these nice, well-meaning liberal families in a sushi restaurant. The children are emaciated. They can't think. The boys can't fight their way out of a paper bag. They're on Ritalin or Adderall. And the mother's feeding them vegetarian sushi, and I wonder why the boy is a wreck and needs psychiatric help. She ought to feed him a piece of red meat and give him a beer. He might be better off. Any society that would eat this stuff, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't eat this stuff. I don't eat it. I like Japanese food. I like the elegance of it. But first of all, most of the fish, for example, like salmon, what do you think it's so red for? It's colored. It's a dyed fish. It's poison. You're not getting raw. You're not getting wild salmon. But they like to say the word hamachi, the liberals, and bow for a glass of water. That's what I decided. Oh, thank you. Thank you. No wonder the owner of the restaurant's so hostile to everybody. He knows the customers are idiots. They bow to him when they come in and he gives them a napkin. They say thank you. Rice outside roll. Futumaki. Golden Gate roll. Yeah, grilled salmon skin. The stuff that I would throw away, they put in for the white people. Why would you eat grilled salmon skin as a main course plate? Oh, that's rice outside the roll. Already looking at the weekend menu. I decided I'm just going to cook at home. It's poison, all of it's junk. I go out to eat for entertainment, but when there's no entertainment, I go to a place, there's too many people in wheelchairs. I'm nothing against it. It could be me tomorrow. I lose my appetite when I go in a restaurant and it looks like Lourdes Cathedral at the door. It's just, you know, and I understand. I mean, I could be in a wheelchair. I have sympathy for sick people. Can't they hide wheelchairs? Why do they have to put them right at the front door? I feel like I'm going into an old age home. And then the worst part is the swinging transfusion trees that some people eat. Look, I'm sorry they're sick. But when I see a swinging plastic bottle with plasma in it, I just kind of lose my appetite. Are there no standards anywhere? Last night I went to a restaurant I've been going to for years. There's a guy wearing a hoodie from one of the African countries walking around the restaurant. I'm sorry. You can't have a dress code in a restaurant? Like, it's not racial, but we don't allow hoodies in the restaurant. It tends to intimidate people. They think the joint's about to be held up. Someone's liable to pull a gun on them. So everything is gone. I raise children. I take them to a restaurant. If they scream, we took them outside. Now, no, can't say anything. Say anything. Take them outside. He's screaming. No, can't do it. You're going to call the police on that one. The PC police. All right, let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. I've been talking a little too much, having a little too much fun here on the program. When I call your number, you give me your name, your station, your topic, and we move on, right? Line number one, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
JR, Michigan, WJR, Brian. And no one's going to hear me back home because we don't get the third hour, which I call every week about. But
you should call the stations. My ratings are so high, they'd be better off with me in the third hour than a local show. I mean, that's my opinion.
My brother, if you heard who they put on after you, I got to change the station. I can't listen to that stuff.
But, well, that's their decision. So what's your main topic today?
My main topic is I want to make you laugh. I'm a...
good luck. Go ahead.
Comedian, brother, and it's a hard, hard thing. But here it is. When you're driving that Wildcat, which I dream about because my senior year I drove a 70 Challenger around, when you come up next to a Prius, look at that guy and say, you know why Toyota called that a Prius? And he'll say, why? Because Prius of manure was just a little too long.
Because Prius what?
Of manure is a little too long.
But how does Prius of manure mean anything?
Because the car is a Prius of manure, if you get what I mean, Japanese.
Well, what does the word Prius mean?
Prius, translated in English, would be peace. Peace. A piece of manure.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, Prius means peace? P-I-E-C-E?
Prius.
All right. We've had our fun. Thank you very much. I haven't laughed yet, you'll notice, but... that's a false laugh.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Where'd you find that soundbite? Do you have Teddy laughing? You have Teddy barking, don't you? I mean, I'd rather hear Teddy barking than listen to another joke like that one. All right, next call, line four. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Renee, KSSO, Gilroy. My main topic is my... history teacher who is a radical liberal. Our main research paper this semester is to write a historiography on our choice. I chose the presidency of Obama, and my main point would be his fundamental transformation of America. And when my teacher was going around and asking people what they were doing their paper on, and he came to me and I told him, he got a little frustrated and a little angry, and...
all right, so what? Another communist teacher got angry because you love the country? What else is new? They're all losers. There used to be an adage, if you can't do, you teach, or something like that. Those who can do and those who can't teach. Most of them are miserable losers who hate anybody who is more successful than themselves. That's the absolute truth. That's the horrible reality of it. Not all teachers, but most of them are miserable, frustrated people who wish they were making a real living. So they take it out on the kids and they beat them up with how bad America is, and capitalism is no good, socialism is wonderful. Let me tell you something. If we had a socialist society, they'd still be losers. They'd lose in a socialist society if there was a socialist society. And those who are winning in capitalism will be on the top in socialism. You don't know that, do you? My uncle once told me that when I was a teenager. I remember, now it comes back to me now. I remember I went to college, came from a, you know, poor family, whatever. And right away I came home with the socialist ideology put in my head by the Europeans who fled Hitler came here and spit on America. First thing they did when they got here was tell us America was no good after they fled Hitler. And they tried to inculcate an entire generation. And most of my cohorts became good little mini socialists like they were supposed to. I somehow resisted it. So anyway... I said to my uncle, I started going home, and said he was a great guy. I said, Uncle Saul, I said, you know, socialism, you know, would be good because it's more fair. So he smiled. He didn't get mad. All he said was, you know, Michael, he said, I've been around long enough to tell you this. I fought in World War II, and here's what I've come to. He said, the people who are on top in capitalism would be on top in a socialist system. It'd be the same thing, only worse. There'd be no middle class. That kind of says it all, doesn't it? He didn't get angry. He didn't scream. He didn't write a book. He just told me that the people who drive themselves, who are smarter and tougher, who drive themselves to the top of a capitalist society would be the ones who wound up the rulers in a socialist society. So, you know, what else is new under the sun? And the reason our system works is that there's a larger middle class than in any socialist society. That's a basic knowledge. That's basic knowledge for anyone who understands the economic systems we're talking about. But the girls today who go to college, they don't know anything. They come from these sheltered environments, and they're so gullible, it's frightening. And they come out like zealots until they have to make a real living, and then they break down if you ask them to get a paperclip. You hire them, you say, get a paperclip. Too loudly, they call the police. They could never work for me, I'll tell you that. It's why I don't have any employees. I can't get along with anybody. It's why I'm an independent. It's why I was always a writer. I cannot get along well with others. Even in the fourth grade, fifth grade, third grade, I remember there were like report cards with behavior. Do you know that? It was like, you know, penmanship. And in addition to the grades, they rated you on your character, personality. And I always got a U, unsatisfactory, when it said gets along well with others. I always wanted to lead them, and they wouldn't listen to me. Nobody wanted to follow. Because as a kid, the only way to get anyone to lead you, to follow you, is to beat them up. And so I wasn't made that way, so therefore no one listened to me. They just ignored me. But I would insist upon that I was right. So they gave me a U, unsatisfactory. So what? What did they know? Where are they now? Look where I am. All right, let's take some calls. You know, life is funny. You know what book I'm reading at night? The story of the Iceman, Kaczynski, the number one contract killer for the mafia. I saw the movie with my friend Robert Davi in it, because I was in L.A. and he was in the latest. I liked him in Kill the Irishman. Then I liked him better in, he said, no, you got to see the Iceman, where he plays one of the family's hit. I don't know what, but he plays a tough guy as usual. He's an intimidating guy, even a real person. That's why I like to go to restaurants with him in L.A., because this guy looks like the parts he plays. He's about 6'4", huge, big bone, the hands the size of a football, and the greatest sense of humor. And he and I get talking, and we start working out in a restaurant. You know, the libs next to us in a Beverly Hills restaurant don't know which way they're getting slapped. We talk about guns. We put down Obama, and loud. I'm talking loud. What, are they going to intimidate him? So they make believe. They give us the S-eating grin, like, you know, they're dying to say something. They don't dare. So I saw the movie The Iceman. He plays a role in it, not the major role. It's pretty good. So then I got interested in the killer, his psyche. How could he kill people like that and be so cold while he tortured them to death? It's actually frightening. He took some of them because some of the mafia guys would give him an edict. I want that guy killed, and I want him to suffer. You're going to get 30 grand, 20 grand to kill him, and another 10 if you make him suffer, and you take a movie of it. And he did this stuff. And the most horrible things he did to people were unimaginable. And they say as he went on in life, he started asking himself, how could he do these things and not feel anything? And then he was a guy who married a woman. Yes, he married a woman, not a man. Had two children. And the children and the wife were his whole life to him. The whole world was nothing to him. He could kill anybody. But he would kill more especially anyone who looked at his family wrong. He was 6'5". Tough as nails. I mean, he was an iron man. It was hard to believe. Polish in an Italian world. It's a fascinating story. They used to call him a name until eventually they got all afraid of him and they started using him for all these things. But the tortures he put people through, should I tell it on the radio? I don't know if I should. It's in a book. One of the guys insulted one or raped one of the mafia guy's daughters. I don't know, something like that. So you can't imagine what he did to his private part. That's a given. That's an easy one. Another guy was taken to a cave he had somewhere where he knew rats lived because he went in there by accident once in the woods. You know what's coming. Yeah. Taped him up and left him there for the rats and left the video recorder running. And then brought the videotape back to the guy who gave him the contract to kill him. And the guy was very pleased with how the guy was being eaten alive. But can you imagine things people do this to each other? Now, ISIS has the same mentality as this contract killer. Only they do it under the guise of religion. How do you like that? Oh, I know they're not Muslim. Pardon me. Well, we know we have to put that in as a caveat in every statement we make. Even though they're following the edicts of their own book in the most fundamentalist manner. I mean, you know, so you see the infidel slash his throat, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's no good but you. You are the only religion. They should all drop dead or convert. Take a tithing from them. It's all in there. They're just following it according to the 8th century view. But in many ways, ISIS is a group of hundreds of thousands of contract killers raging on the planet, conducting the most heinous crimes you could imagine. And Obama refuses to identify them. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I think I'll get a ducktail haircut. No, I think I'll get a Viking haircut. Instead of being a tranny granny, I think I'll be a Viking at my... You know, I'm looking at the menus for the weekend again. Chinese menu. If Obama created an Asian menu, you would have dishes like twice beaten conservative over rice. Or, let us say, General Chow's Patriot long noodle. Sweet and sour Christian. It's funny. It's kind of, I bet you they play games like that, the sorority girls. They look at a Chinese menu and they put in words for conservative, Christian, patriot, and war veteran into the dishes. Instead of egg foo young, it would be conservative foo young. Or, as I say, twice beaten patriot over rice. Oh, yeah. Here, pan-fried Christian. Pan-fried Christian sauteed in a house special sauce. Kung Pao, you know what Pao reminds. Rhymes with, right? Kung Pao reminds with which religion? Rhymes with which religion? I can't even say it. It'll be misinterpreted.
Savage.